Hey kids, how you doing today?
Very good.
Very good. Very good. Would you like to come on down the front? I've got a bit of a chat with you. I've got a bit of a fun toy today. I've got a fun toy to play with. All right. How are we going?
Very good.
Too good. All right. Can everyone see my little toy that I've got today?
Yeah.
Very good. Anyone know what it is? Yes.
Drone.
It's a drone, yeah, or a quad drone. All right. It's got four spinny things. Propellery type stuff. It does. It's very good. You can grab a Lego man and put him on there and fly him around the room. That's pretty cool, eh? The only problem is it's been 2 or 3 years since I played with Lego. And so I don't have a Lego man. So one day if I visit, I might bring this with me, and some of you guys I know have got Lego. We can put a man on there and fly him around the room. The other thing with this is pretty cool is it has a camera. So we can fly it over the top of people later and take photos of their heads. So that sounds all right, doesn't it?
I can give you a Lego.
You can give me a Lego. That'd be very nice. All right, now, is it working? No. Why isn't it working? Yes. Because it's what? I haven't turned it on. It doesn't have an on-off switch. I did try that. Look for it. What do you think it needs? I haven't got the remote, actually. Let's get the remote. This remote is on my phone. That's pretty cool, hey? All right. What else do you think I need?
A battery.
A battery. Very good. There is the battery. What do I need to do with it?
Put it in?
Put it all the way in? Yeah. Okay. Let's see what happens when I put it in. Did anything happen?
Yeah.
What happened?
There's
got red lights on.
And it clicked.
Oh, wow, we've got something happening here. All right. Okay, technology, please work.
It's tiny.
What's it going to now? Is it still red? It's yellow. So is it ready to work?
Yeah.
Okay, ready, work. It's not working.
You haven't moved it.
You said something. Who said about the controller? What have I got to do with the controller?
You better move the switches.
I got it. Okay, so I'll turn the controller on. All right. Oh, there's something happening there. Look. Look at that. What's happening?
You have to press start.
I have to press start. But there's a lot of things I have to do.
Yeah,
I just want to play with it.
You have to do it quicker.
Oh, I do it quicker. Yes, I know. We'll be here till midday. I got it. All right. It's connected. Okay, start button, you reckon? Hit the start button. Okay, I've hit the start button. Drone initializing. Place it on a flat surface. All right, who's got a flat head? Who's got a flat head? Who want you? I'll put it on your head? No, I'll put it on the flat ground. How's that sound? All right. Is it? Oh, did it just change? What did it do?
It turned green.
Green. What does green mean? Go. All right. Step back. Ready, set, go. There we go. Look at that. All right. The adults can't see that, so they don't know what we're talking about. So we'll go up to the roof. Oh, look at that. And we'll go over the adults, and we'll scare them. Look at this. Whoa. Whoa. Hey, Richie, I haven't crashed so far. There it is. We'll bring it. Oh, it's coming down. It's coming down. It's coming down. Look, I'll move it this way a little bit. Look at that. It's flying. It sounds like a huge mosquito. There we go. Hold on. All right, you ready? All right, what if we go to the side? Yeah. Oh, don't hit the wall. Oh, come back. All right, we'll come back. Okay, and we'll drop it down. Watch out, Elijah. I'm going to crash it. Oh, there we go. It nearly touched you. Okay, so we're going to turn that off. You've got a helicopter. Thank you very much. It is a controller. So we've learned a few things today, haven't we? One, when that just sits there and the power's not attached, it doesn't work, does it? So if I take the battery out, it needs to have the battery in it. So it needs to have power. When we put the power in, it turns on. But even when it's on, it still needs to have the controller, doesn't it? And the controller, when it sits in my pocket, isn't much good, is it? So if you don't use the controller, you can't get it to work. Is that right?
Yep.
So when you get the controller, you've got to turn that on. You've got to hit the start button. And then you've got to learn how to use the controller. Because if you don't use the controller properly, what happens? It crashes. Now, the good thing with this one is that it has this on it so that if you crash into something, it doesn't break. I wish my helicopter had this on it because I broke it. So you can see how it bounces into things, and it's pretty cool. You'll have to teach me how to fly a helicopter because I'm not very good with that one. I'll have to come and get lessons off you, Ollie.
We have a red helicopter.
A red helicopter.
And you need to charge it every time.
Every time you've got to charge the battery. Yeah. Okay. So you need to have the power and you need to have the controller. Now, when we, as followers of Jesus, let Jesus into our lives, we need to make sure that we let Jesus be in control, right? In control of us, because we have the power within us, but we need to have him doing what he wants us to do. Exactly. Like I control the drone. You've got the message. Well done. We need to let Jesus control us. All right? Let's pray. And then you've got an awesome program today. Look how many of you are. That's fantastic. Let's pray. Father God, thank you for these awesome young people. I thank you for each and every one of them. I pray, Lord God, that you would give them a great time up in children's ministry and watch over them at Frogs, Tadpoles, and just give them a great time. Be with their leaders in Jesus' name. And all the kids said, amen. Amen. All right, off you go. Have a good morning.
Bye,
see you later. See you, boys. See you, Lockie. You got five.
The Bible reading today comes from Zechariah chapter 4, verse 6. So he said to me, "This is the word of the Lord to Zerubbabel. Not by might, nor by power, but by my spirit, says the Lord Almighty."
Father God, thank you for today. Thank you for those songs that challenge us in the area of letting your Holy Spirit be in control. I'm not real good at that, Father. I tend to try and do things in my own strength and in my own abilities. And so, Father, as I open this passage today, I pray that you speak into my life as much as you do into anyone else's life. We thank you, Father, for your word that is for us today. In your name, amen. Amen. Hey, this passage, Zechariah chapter 4, verse 6. Anyone never heard that passage before? We've all heard it before. You've probably heard many sermons on it. You've probably seen great things about this passage. The book of Zechariah itself is a very interesting book. Some notes for Dave Averill, some historical notes. At this period of time when this book is being written and these events are taking place, it's 664 years after the fall of Troy. Also, it's 546 years after the original foundation was built of Solomon's temple. For those of you that know the book of Zechariah, Zerubbabel was given the responsibility of rebuilding the temple. So there's 500 plus years between when the original was built to when he's now rebuilding this new temple. It's also at a time and place where Haggai is doing his ministry, and it's also the time over in the east where there's a guy called Confucius running around and starting up his ministry. The interesting thing about the writers of commentaries is that they look into it, and a guy called Clark spent a lot of time going into what this was all about, this book of Zechariah, into its date, into its time. And he's worked out that the word of the Lord that came to Zechariah through these 10 visions, through these 10 chapters, came in the month of February. And the interesting thing was this one in chapter 4 came somewhere around the 24th to the 26th of February using a modern calendar. Obviously, back in its time, it was called something else. But that's, I thought, was quite interesting as I read that. And today being the 26th of February seems to fit quite well. This is an incredible book with visions and stories. And I don't think I got many of the commentary writers to agree on altogether on what some of the symbols all meant. So I'm going to steer away from the symbols and stick with the simplicity of what we have before us. A very good book, amazing. An amazing man, Zechariah, who is both a prophet and a priest. So it looked like they started wearing more than one hat back in those days. And he's an incredible word to his nation and to his leader in Zerubbabel. This verse, chapter 4, verse 6, "Not by might, not by power, but by my spirit, says the Lord Almighty, the God of the armies of heaven, the God who is the creator, the God who says very loudly and clearly, not by might, not by power, but by my spirit." But what does that mean for you and for me? Might and power, are they the same thing or are they different? According to the commentary writers, again, they talk about might as in being our own abilities, our own strength. By my might, I did this. By my might, I built this. So ability, strength, might is that word. Power. In the book of Acts, that we hear, by what power or by what name did you do this healing? So it's by power is like it's being put on you. It's the authority given to you. And so Zerubbabel had both those things. He was given great abilities as a leader. He had great people around him, Zechariah and many other great leaders. And so there was a great amount of things and people and gifts and talents that could do this work. There was also a great power. A new world power was in place at this time. A new world emperor, as it were. And he had given them power. He had given them authority to come back and do this project. So there was plenty of that around him. He would have been feeling quite confident, quite assured in his own abilities, and quite incredible with the power or the authority placed upon him to do this work, the rebuilding of the temple. But God comes in and says very loudly and very clearly, it's not by might, it's not by power, but it's by my spirit, says the Lord, that this gets done. So what does that mean? Does that mean we stop doing things in our own strength? Do we grab all our abilities, our talents, our gifts, and we throw them out the window and we just hold a prayer meeting? And we sit back waiting for God to miraculously turn up and do it all? Do we take the power that is given to us, the authority given to us, the anointing, as it were, to go forward and do what God's called us to do? Do we wait back on that and just wait to be completely led by the Holy Spirit? Is that what this means? In different places through church history, different people have tried to do different things to understand this verse. Some have done just exactly that, held the prayer meeting and waited and waited. And out of that prayer meeting, God did some amazing things. Back in the Middle Ages, there was a little prayer meeting that lasted 100 years. That's pretty significant, don't you think? 100 years, 24/7, every day, every month, every year, for 100 years, someone was in that prayer room praying. And out of that prayer ministry came one of the greatest missions that has ever happened across our world. Missionaries came out of that prayer meeting that sold themselves into slavery to reach the slaves. That's pretty hardcore mission work, isn't it? Put up your hand. Who wants to go to the Ukraine? I want to go to the Ukraine. I'll go to the Ukraine. Off they go. They go to the Ukraine. I want to work with lifesavers on the beach. Off I go. There's other areas of ministry. Some of it's easy, some of it's hard. Do you think these guys that put up their hand to be sold into slavery, and once they're getting their first beating for being a slave, they went, hold on a second, this is not what I signed up for. No, well, too bad, you're a slave now, you get to do what you get to do. Is that what it's about? What does this verse mean for me, and what does it mean for you in this, the 21st century? How do we do things? Not by might, not by power, but by my spirit. That little example I gave with the kids is, this toy is an amazing little toy. The technology in it is incredible. And you can have lots of fun with it. But like we said with the kids, unless it's plugged in, unless it has a power source, it just sits there. And unless that power source is connected to a controller, you can't use it. And even when you've got the controller, unless you learn how to do it, guess what? Chances are you might crash on your first attempt, of which I did many a times, because I wasn't sure which way the buttons went, and before I know it, I'm slamming it into the side of the wall. Oops, okay. And so when you're grabbing hold of something as simple as that, when you're the controller of it, you need to learn how it works. Fine tune. For you and for me, one example of us letting God work in and through us by his Spirit is hearing God's voice. Now, we've got 150 folk in here today. How do we all hear God's voice? How do we hear God's voice? I reckon we'll all hear God's voice in different ways. Some of us might hear God speak to us through dreams and visions. Zechariah is getting dreams and visions and an angel appearing to him, having a fantastic discussion with an angel. But as you read through this, I don't know how helpful the angel is. Because sometimes when Zechariah says to the angel, what's that mean? What? Don't you know? Says the angel. And Zechariah goes, no. And there's no answer given. And so it is a dream, a vision, and an angel standing before him. I don't know how many people in this room have had an angel turn up and give you a message. Any Marys, Josephs, Zechariahs? That's one way that God can speak to you. The other way is that loud, audible voice. I don't know how many have had that one happen. Another one is that still, small voice. And again, as I talk to people about the still, small voice, a number of them talk about that means different for them. For me, the still, small voice is something very easy for me to hear. It's like I'm having a conversation with this still, small voice. And God is so gentle with me in that way. As I'm into these conversations, he uses humor with me, like I think this angel's using humor with Zechariah. Certainly the way I read it was. And I get that message through God, and I have that warmth of feeling, of comfort, of reassurance that this is a good relationship I'm having with the God of all creation. Other folks I've talked to, they're still small voices. I have this sense, I have this strong feeling, a compulsion that this is something I need to do. Others, you know, my gut tells me. You know that old saying? I got it in my gut. The gut, I feel it here. And this is what I feel God wants me to do. The still small voice, we'll all hear in different ways. Some people will grab God's word and have it speak loudly and clearly to them. It's like verses jump out of the page at them. And they go, read that. No, yeah. No, don't you get it? And there it is, loudly and clearly speaking to them. Loud. Other people will, in prayer time, hear someone else say something and it'll be the exact message they need to hear. Exact message. Last night at our prayer meeting, I was just in awe as we spent about 40 minutes in thanksgiving and talking about God's sovereignty and how he's an amazing God. And just listening to other people talk about God, I'm just going, yes, I know that God. That's the same God I know. And it was just amazing time. So it flowed through. So all of us will sense and hear God's voice in a different way. So I believe God's Spirit will work in and through us in different ways. In different ways. To minister as the body of Christ, we need that, don't we? It's no good if we all have just a mouthpiece. It's no good if we all just listen. It's no good if we're all just the hands. We need all of it to work together. One of the passages that helped me this week is another very popular one. So if you have your Bibles up on the screen, Galatians chapter 5. Galatians chapter 5, verse 22. So, not by might, not by power, but by my Spirit. Now, we've talked about letting the Holy Spirit into our lives. We've talked and we've sung about letting the Holy Spirit take control. So what does that look like? And one verse, just one passage. There's many other ones that we can look at, but today we're just going to look at one verse and one passage. I'm just going to read it through, and then we're going to come back and have a quick look at it. But the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, forbearance, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, and self-control. Against such things there is no law. Those who belong to Christ Jesus have crucified the flesh with its passions and desires. Since we live by the Spirit, let us keep in step with the Spirit. Let us not become conceited, provoking, and envying each other. Good passage, but a part of an amazing book. Good passage, but a part of an amazing chapter. To get its true sense, we need to look at it all. But today, we're just going to concentrate very quickly on a few parts of it. Those who belong to Christ Jesus have crucified the flesh. They take up the cross daily. Again, that passage is used again and again and again. I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. If God's not strengthening me, how can I do it? I need to be plugged into the vine. We are the branches, He is the vine. Unless we're plugged into Him, we don't bear fruit. And if we don't bear fruit, we get pruned off and thrown into the fire, because that's what bad, dead wood is useful for. So again, the passage comes through loudly, clearly, all the way through. We need to be plugged into Jesus, allowing the Holy Spirit to be working in and through us. And I believe as the Holy Spirit starts to work in and through us, we will see this fruit start to transform from the inside out of the Holy Spirit working through us. I just want to read through these again. I'm not going to go into a great detail of explaining what all these are. But as I read through it, I'll read through it very slowly and particularly. And before I read through, I'm going to pray. And I'm going to ask God for Him to speak to you in the way that He will speak to you about which one of this fruit or which ones of this fruit does He want to work on in your life as an evidence of the Spirit working in and through you, not by might, not by power, but by the Spirit of God. Let's pray. Father God, we thank You for this word. We know it. We've read it before. Some of us have memorized it, and we can roll through those fruit that are mentioned, Lord, again and again and again. But today, by the power of Your Holy Spirit, who is in this place and who is in our lives, I ask You, Lord God, to speak to each and every one of us. Lord, highlight. Make it jump out of the page. Make we feel it in our gut. May we feel it in the still small voice. Lord, if we need to have an angel appear before us and say the word love, then Lord, may it happen today. May we hear from You loudly and clearly how the Spirit wants to work in and through our lives. An area of our life where He wants to work in this way. So, Father, as we read Your word, may it be something incredible for each of us. But the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, forbearance, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, and self-control. Father God, may the fruit of Your Spirit be evident in our lives. May we let You take control in the area of love, in the area of joy, in the area of peace, in the area of forbearance, in the area of kindness, in the area of goodness, in the area of faithfulness, in the area of gentleness, and in the area of self-control. May it be a work of Your Holy Spirit. In Jesus' mighty name. Amen. Another aspect of letting the Holy Spirit work in and through our lives was evident in a song we sang last week, but also a song we sang today. Can anyone tell me what I have here? A burner? Yep. It's got oil in it. It's got a wick. And so it's an oil burner. The picture in Zechariah chapter 4 is about this impressive oil burner. It's amazing. It is so good that it needs two olive trees on either side for it to be able to light. Amen? It's impressive. This is just a very simple little oil burner. Okay. If I put the oil burner there, is it doing what it's meant to do? No, John. You said no straight away. You didn't even think. It's not doing what... Anyone else agree with John? It's not... What does it need? It needs fire. When John the Baptist talked about Jesus coming, he said he would baptize us in the Holy Spirit and with fire. Baptism in the Holy Spirit and in fire. You see, when we get filled with the Holy Spirit, and the Holy Spirit, a lot through the Old Testament and the New Testament, has the analogy of oil. Anointing with oil is a precursor to the anointing of the Holy Spirit over our lives. The oil. The anointing of the priests so the oil flows down. The oil. But if the oil is just sitting in a container and the fire of God doesn't come and hit it, it's sitting there. But when the fire of God comes and it can minister into our lives, then there's something that takes place. Steve, can you get up and turn the lights off for me, please? Not only do we have an oil heat lamp going, but now have light. And in the darkness, the light is seen. Everyone see that fairly clearly? Yeah, if I put it up higher? Because we're not meant to hide it under something, are we? It's supposed to be high and light for everyone to see. You can see that okay back there, Trish? Yeah. All right, thanks, Steve. Not by might, not by power, but by my Holy Spirit. By my Spirit, says the Lord God Almighty. We've prayed for God to fill us with his Holy Spirit. We've prayed for him to fill us again and again and again. We've sung about it, and we even asked for God to come and light it in our lives, that we might be set on fire by God, that the work of the Holy Spirit might indeed come about doing something. When the Holy Spirit came upon the early church, what happened? They testified to God and people got saved. The next time it happened, he shook the room and they got filled again and they went out and they spoke the word of God with boldness. Jesus called us to be the light in the world. The Holy Spirit and the fire of God causes light. And I believe it's the work of the Holy Spirit in and through our lives that with the fire of God will be a light in the darkness, a light in our community. You just can't help it. You put the two together, that's what happens. And it continues to go as you get filled more and more with the Holy Spirit and the fire of God working in and through your life, and you laying your life down and letting God be in control, letting God do what he wants to do in our lives. When God gets a hold of you, will he use your talents and your gifts and your abilities? Yes. He put them in you. He wired you that way. You know, he doesn't get me to play the drums on a Sunday morning. That is not going to go down well. And now that we've got good singers, he doesn't even get me to sing anymore, which is really cool. But we let God do what he wants to do in our giftings and our talents, and we ask him to set us on fire that we might be a light wherever we are. Whether we're in this place, we're in the community, we're in the Ukraine, we're in the schools, we're in the surf club, wherever we go, that the light of Christ might shine, the Holy Spirit might be burning deep within our lives. And you just can't help it. You just can't help it. The fruit of the Spirit. the Holy Spirit and fire brings about transformation deep within us. This whole message of not by might and not by power, but by my Spirit is calling us to say, I yield myself to you, God. I'm called to do this. It's loud and clear. But Lord, in all I do, may I do it in your strength, in your power, and in your way. And that is incredibly humbling. That is incredibly humbling. I pray that we would let the Holy Spirit take control and he would move us where he wants to move us, in the ways that he wants us to go, and that his fruit would be loud and clear throughout all our lives. And the fire of God would enable the light of Christ to shine so bright. And that second time it went up to 5,000 folk coming to know Jesus. That'd be pretty cool. One of the prayer points that we talked about last night is if everything that we're already doing started to go boom, and someone said, oh, we'd have to have church every night of the week. Okay, I'm up for it once I come back from holidays. Let's pray. Okay. Father God, thank you for your Holy Spirit. I also want to thank you for the gifts and the talents that you've given us. But I want to repent, Lord God, when I use those gifts and those talents, I use my might and my power by not bringing it to you. And so, Father, I want to yield my might and my power to the work of your Holy Spirit. I want to give you the controller. And I want to be the drone that'll go wherever you call me to go. Go up, go down, go left, and go right. You be the controller. You guide me. You lead me. You enable me. And you empower me by your Spirit and by your fire. And Lord God, may we be the light of Christ in this place and in this community. We pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. Just as we come to a close, if you would like prayer, if you'd like to say yes, less of me, more of God, more of the Holy Spirit, more of God in control, come on down the front. Love to pray with you. Or pray with one of your brothers and sisters where you are and let them join you in prayer as we together be the body of Christ. God bless you.